Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
All right, we're back on the air here at CFAX 1070. My phone board is open and it's clear. If you want to weigh in on this or weigh in on anything we've discussed on the show lately at 250-386-1161, star 1070, a free call on your wireless device. Hey, Adam, a texter writes, I hope we, the public, can learn more from the CCTV, the closed camera, or excuse me, closed circuit television footage, I should say, in the bank. It says, and on the street that must be available to the police. It says the video will provide answers to a lot of the questions that you posed over the last hour. Hopefully some can be released with the obvious sensitivity to help clear up some of the supposition that exists. Chris writes, good morning, Adam. As you tell us the words that those boys use to describe their emotions towards our government and its policies, I must admit some consternation. I've had to endure years, it says here, of these same words being said by a close family member. Family dinners are going to get very interesting. Chris, you're allowed to bark about your government. You're allowed to say F Trudeau. We live in a free nation where that's allowed and that must be protected, in my view. You're allowed to be angry. You're allowed to stomp around. You're allowed to vent. But as soon as violence starts, as soon as you start contemplating or doing harm to innocent people because you don't like a policy, that's where I draw a very, very dark line. And it's on the other side of that line that I have zero tolerance for, regardless of who the politician is. You know, I was talking a lot of stuff. I was working all weekend trying to dig up stuff on this, and I usually have Twitter open. It's like a fidget spinner for me. I'm doing three things at once, and the Twitter window is usually something that just occupies one of my hands while I'm doing some, while I'm like tweeting or typing or whatever on another thing. So, you know, it's, if you see me there, it's usually not the only thing I'm doing. It's usually what I do to ward off boredom when I'm doing one or two other things. And the topic of divisiveness came up with some folks I was chatting with. And I was reflecting on, you know, a lot of people really, really, really hated Stephen Harper too. But we didn't have people saying, well, you know, it's all this divisiveness. Of course this has happened. Like, that shouldn't be an excuse for any violent actions. Like, that's not a line that I want to normalize or anything. You can be as divisive as you want. You can be as angry as you want. But when you pull a trigger, when you harm another human being, that responsibility, that's you. That is your choice. You did that. And I don't want anybody being under the false impression that, oh, the guy in Ottawa, he's so divisive. Oh, he said this and it was so mean and he called me names. So I went and I proved him right and I did all the bad stuff. No, listen to that. That's ridiculous. Be better than that. Rise above that. And I just want to be clear. I don't care if it's left. I don't care if it's right. I don't care about anything. I don't care if it's Victoria City Hall. I never, ever want to hear about any violence that happens in this city or in this community anywhere predicated on political disagreement. I abhor it on the left. I abhor it on the right. And I will always forcefully denounce it. And I would encourage everybody else to do the same. The left, the right, all of it. None. It's not acceptable. And I know the church is burning down. We're really distressing because I can hear Richard. He's already going to call it. Oh, Adam, you didn't talk about that when the left was. I don't actually know who did that, but we discussed that earlier in the program. We have some strong suspicions as to motive, and I will denounce that as well. In fact, I did denounce that. I denounce any form of property destruction or political violence that arises from political disagreement. Always have. Just the way I'm wired. Anonymous is up. Hey, Anonymous. Who's this?
Yes. I feel like I need to take the courage to call in. I'm a retired registered nurse, and I was one of the hostages, and I had quite a bit of damage to my car from bullets. And the reason I'm calling in is to thank you, Adam, the police and the detectives, the family and community support, and I hope that everybody will consider using the GoFundMe for the police because they ran through the hail of bullets to rescue us. And I also want to acknowledge the brave Bank of Montreal staff who took us to the vault where we were for, I think it was for an hour, listening to the gunfire. And this is my motive for calling in, because it is going to be a long road for the police that are still in hospital. So I just wanted to thank everybody. And, of course, that includes the mayors and the head of Vic PD in Saanich. Thank you.
What? Hold on. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
What was it like in the vault as the gunfire started? Were people talking? Was there something?
No. We were instructed to be silent.
How did you do that?
You do deep breathing. You just do what you have to do. It's kind of surreal. Yeah.
What else could you hear?
Just steady, unrelenting gunfire. We didn't know where it was coming from. But again, my thrust is to call in to express gratitude to all these people, because it could have been far worse, as everyone is saying. And I speak from being a retired registered nurse in mental health, as well as a proud citizen of Saanich. And it took me a long time to get the courage to even call in. Thank you.
Absolutely. You call us back. I'd love to ask you some questions, but I don't want to impose on you. It sounds like this was a traumatic event. I don't want to make you relive it if it's difficult.
It was, and I think given time, I will be able to discuss it more. Right now, I'm just taking privacy and using family and community support, but I want to encourage the listeners to recognize the people that were heroes. And all of these people were heroes. And the one thing we can do, if people can afford it, is go to the GoFundMe campaign, which is set up. And it is reputable and reliable. And I myself have contributed to it. This is one thing we can do.
Anonymous, I'm sorry this happened to you, but we're going to fix it. We're going to make it okay.
Okay. Anyway, thank you to you and all the other agencies I mentioned.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Thank you, Adam. Bye.
I can't imagine what that must have been like in that vault, instructed to stay quiet, and the gunfire starts. And you don't know which side's going to win. Imagine that. It's difficult for me to imagine that. It's worse than we ever feared in terms of what was happening. You know, actually, I will say this. The first thing that I saw, actually, as that was happening, it was a tweet, actually, that I saw even before the text started coming in. I saw a tweet, and somebody tweeted at me and said, is there a mass shooting in Saanich right now? And, you know, I see the weirdest stuff on Twitter. You know, half of it's just people messing with you. Like, a lot of people just, they go on Twitter and they just troll other people because that's their video game. They think it's fun. I, with that understanding, sometimes will go a few rounds, play around. So I don't take everything that I see on there seriously. But I saw this, and I kind of... I don't know, like it was stark. It wasn't in like some flamboyant way. It was from an account that I actually recognized. And I still remember this like pit in my stomach formed. And I went, uh-oh. And then I started to see the text come in. What's happening? There's popping. Is there a shooting in Saanich? What's happening? And I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm like, oh my God, is this real? And it was. It happened here. I would have never thought it possible, but it happened here. We owe it to ourselves to find out why. We owe it to ourselves to find out why these young men came here to our community, why they did this to us, and if there's anything more that we can do to stop it from happening again. We also owe it to those who were there when we needed them to literally be the human shields and literally take a bullet for you, for me, for every other person in this community who could have been there. I wasn't there that day, but I could have been. How many times have you been up and down the Shelbourne corridor? I used to live on Shelbourne, actually, up in... until 2012 when I worked here at CFAX. And I actually used to pick up pizza, actually, probably a block away from where that is. It used to be one of my favorite places to go. I remember being a little kid and eating at the McDonald's at the corner of Cedar Hill Crossroad in Shelbourne. And that's just a hop, skip, and a jump from there. You know, how many times have I been in that strip mall right across the street? It could have been you. It could have been me. But it wasn't either of us. It was the cops that took the hit. And we're lucky that they were there, and we're thankful that they were there at that time. Quick break. We're back right after this.
It's Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
All right. Earlier in the program, we had tried to touch base with Simon Fraser University Criminology Professor Rob Gordon to get his thoughts on what we've learned so far. We were unable to establish contact with the professor earlier in the program, but my understanding is we have now been able to do so. So we're going to have that conversation now. Then we'll take a break for the 11:30 news. Then we'll get the calls at 250-386-1161. I've got Vince, David, and Richard on the board in that order if you want to hold your spot. Or you can call us back, whichever you prefer. We'll get back to open lines coming up. Meanwhile, this is Professor Rob Gordon.
Yes, good morning.
Welcome to the program, sir. We're glad we can make contact.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm not sure what's going on. But anyway, let's carry on.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today. We wanted your thoughts. This incident with the Saanich Bank, actually, we were the first news outlet probably in the province to report that police officers had been shot, because we had witnesses calling in and describing what they had just seen with their own two eyes. More information coming out at this point. 22-year-old twin brothers from the Duncan area, dead at the scene. An Instagram account that we found that has been reported on by CTV and others showing anti-government messages, anti-gun control messages, other concerning messages. Your thoughts on what we're seeing so far?
Well, I mean, it's more questions than answers. That's a cliche, but that's certainly the situation. I have lots of questions about precisely what happened. I mean, it's coming together slowly, bit by bit. But these kinds of events are quite extraordinary, and I'm sure it shook people in Saanich. It's not exactly the bank itself is not exactly a major target from what I can see of the pictures. So, not sure what these guys are up to. Frankly, if they were going after this particular bank, they'd be going after the cash that's in it. They must have known or had a tip-off of some kind about the probability of money being there. I mean, banks don't carry a huge amount these days. But they obviously thought there was something worth picking up in that bank.
Are we sure about that, Professor? And the only reason I ask is that the eyewitnesses that we have interviewed have told us that one of the peculiar aspects of the suspect's conduct is that when they actually got money or had the opportunity, they didn't leave. They remained on scene pacing as if waiting for something until police arrived.
Well, I have no idea what their motive would be then, and of course nobody will know.
Are you aware of the 1997 North Hollywood shootout?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
are you aware that they posted about that incident on their Instagram feeds before this crime?
No,
you weren't aware of that. Okay, sorry. No. Somebody should have told you that. Okay. Sorry, I feel like I just ambushed you with that. Yeah, that was reported by CTV over the weekend.
No, I have not seen that. I'm aware of that particular incident. That was quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
And from recollection, there are some similarities.
Yeah, many similarities. Yeah, Isaac Octerloni on February 28th, 2021, posted a video of documentary clips of that particular shootout, the homemade body armor and other elements of it that appear to have been replicated in this crime.
Okay, well, I'm not sure how to respond to that.
Okay, and again, I'm sorry, I thought that you would have been briefed on that. My apologies.
No, not a problem.
Okay, well, that actually gets rid of a bunch of the questions I was going to ask you. Is there anything else you want to weigh in on at this time?
No, except that obviously the police will come up with some of the answers to the many questions that I and many others have about this incident. And we just have to sit tight for the time being. And I'm particularly interested in what the IIO come up with as they piece together the nature of the shootout itself, who fired first, who fired when, et cetera, et cetera. Those questions are very important, and we have to have the answers.
Yeah, absolutely. I can send you a link to the story with the Instagram feed in it if you like. I think it might be helpful.
I've seen the pictures of these young men with their long guns. But I've not seen anything in connection with the North Hollywood incident.
Okay.
Which I believe about 25 years ago.
Yeah, it was on the 24th anniversary, Isaac Octerloni posted about it.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, okay.
All right. Anyway, let's touch base again soon as more develops, Professor.
Absolutely, not a problem.
All right, thanks so much.
Okay, bye.
All right, have a good day. All right. My apologies. I have no idea why our producers would not have forwarded that very important information on the professor. I also don't know why the professor wasn't able to join us at the original time today. Again, this is where everybody's sort of really busy. Everything's being thrown together right now in terms of trying to figure this out. So I didn't mean to put Professor Gordon in a difficult position. It's just I suspected that perhaps he hadn't been made aware of that information, because it is relatively new information. It's not information that we knew on Friday when we asked him to come on the show. It was information that emerged over the weekend. And it's awful. Like the implications of this. Again, we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure that this is what happened, but the more you look at it, the more it looks like this wasn't about money at all. This was about replicating that shootout with the police. And there are potential reasons that we have seen for that. And the idea that this was violence in service of protesting a certain policy is not impossible. Doesn't mean it was. Just means it's something we have to look into. Texter 107010 writes to me, on Thursday, my daughter was at b-ball practice, and 30 minutes into it, they got locked down and had to sit in the dark for about an hour because of the incident around Richmond and Knight. Texter writes, I will say that after knowing how our brave officers responded on Tuesday, I had no doubt in my mind that my daughter would be kept safe. But this saddens me that even though there was nothing that happened, these children ages 11 to 13 were affected, and some maybe for a while, with anxiety. Texter writes, I hate that we live in a world where events like this happen. And I want to just say to all those affected on Tuesday that I am so sorry this happened to you. You didn't deserve this, the texter writes. Thank you to Victoria and Saanich Police, and well wishes to the injured officers. Yeah. Listen, this text is, listen to what this text says. My three-year-old's daycare is about 200 meters from the BMO, and the kids were all outside when the shooting started. Texter writes, the kids thought the shooting was firecrackers, and they were locked down inside until we were allowed to pick them up at 4 o'clock. My God. It started at 11. So you had to wait for 5 hours knowing that your three-year-old was locked down somewhere and you couldn't. Wow. That must have been tough. Like, I don't even know what to say. Imagine that, separated. Because nobody could move. Of course, that makes sense. They didn't know if there was anybody else. They didn't know if there'd be any stray bullets. Wow. Texter 107010 writes in their view, Adam, the Shelbourne incident is one thing and one thing only, suicide by police. Texter, that's possible. Now, I know that on Thursday's show, somebody's going to go listen to the podcast and give me the gears because that always happens. So I have to admit it to myself to be intellectually honest and consistent with myself as well as all of you, which is what my job is, right or wrong. On Thursday, I waved off that possibility because I said that it didn't make any sense to me if they were intending on going down in that blaze of glory or whatever you want to call it, a shootout with the police, why would they have taken steps to hide their identity? Like Shelley Fryer told us that they did.
He had on a balaclava, but it's a different kind of a balaclava. But
we now know that they may have been emulating exactly the style of dress that was used in 1997.
Sevens are wearing ski masks and dark clothing.
They were wearing the black ski masks and dark clothing. And I've had people tell me that if you even look at the color of the jackets and whatnot, there are similarities between that and 1997. No, it's you can't unsee it, I think is a perhaps trite phrase that describes the situation. Once you go through and you look at all the similarities from 1997, you look at what we're seeing in Saanich, all these things add up. Even the incendiary device in the vehicle, or it was jars of gasoline that they used in 1997. Now, we don't know what the explosive devices were in the vehicle. We know that they were there because Chief Duffy, told us that they were there.
Explosive devices were discovered during the incident in a vehicle associated to the suspects.
We also know that they were later destroyed at Heartland Landfill.
Early this afternoon, the explosive devices were transported to Heartland Landfill facility by EDU and safely destroyed.
We had Corporal Manso, Sergeant Manso. Sorry, I keep getting that wrong. It's my apologies if you're out there listening. I'm an idiot. I don't know why I have the wrong rank stuck in my head, but I do, so I have to write it out. Talked about the explosives on June 29th.
In my policing career, transporting explosives is what the explosive disposal unit does. They are aware of what the risks are, and to take it to a safe place and take care of them safely.
And that's what happened. He also didn't weigh in at that time on the type of the explosive, though.
So the types of explosives and what their intentions were, we don't know. That's exactly what VIMQ is trying to work through.
But if you go through the 1997 account, there were jars of gasoline And I'm not aware of the exact arrangement or how they were used, but they were in the suspect vehicle in 1997, the High Incident Bandits, they called themselves, or the media or others called them at that point. The idea was is that the evidence would be in the car, the jars of gasoline would be used to destroy the car, the ensuing fire would be used to destroy any evidence, throw police off the trail. That was the idea in 1997. Were they trying to copy that? Were they trying to emulate that? Was this like an almost copycat right down to the color of the dress that they chose? We don't actually know. But when you look at all these details in 1997 and you look at things that last week we were puzzled over and that didn't make sense and we didn't understand, suddenly there's so much that locks into sharp focus, including who they were waiting for. Why were they waiting? Shelley Fryer told us that. Why were they waiting? Why were they calm?
Calm. The energy from them was completely calm.
And most importantly,
like he was going for a walk in the park, just pacing calmly back and forth, as if he was waiting for something.
Maybe he was. Maybe the whole thing was bait. They were trying to get the police there so they could try to kill them. Maybe. We don't know. But it's more likely this week, I think, than last, given what we've learned since then. Quick break. Back after this.
Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Another texture at 1070s10 writes, one thing though, if it was suicide by cop, there could have been or would have been, in this texture's view, a manifesto or something left behind. They may have been willing to give up their lives for a cause, but they would want people to know about that cause. I hate to say it, but I think this might have just been random violence. Texture, that's possible too. You know, I said earlier in the conversation, that's an extreme possibility. This could have been a terrorist attack. Like, depending on what the motive was, if it was a political motive, they were objecting to policy, what their plans were, we don't know yet. Could have also been random violence. That's also possible. I'm trying to impress upon people what we do not know at this time, so it's important that we remain open to hearing and receiving new evidence so as to sharpen our understanding of this. That's also possible. Doesn't feel like it's the most likely scenario, but it's possible. It's important that we're clear with ourselves about that. Let's go to Vince. Hey, Vince, you're on the air. How you doing?
I'm very well, Adam, Monday morning. Maybe if you want to call it a positive out of this whole situation will be that the Victoria Council, and they know who they are, will leave the police alone now and let them do their job instead of constantly berating them and turning them upside down. Also, same thing with the bylaw staff. We're trying to enforce bylaws when they were trying to do their job. And, you know, again, council, you know, went at them out in the park there. So if it's a positive out of this whole thing, I hate to say that, but I'm hoping that this will stop that chirping at the police and look after them. And I didn't see a whole lot of counselors running in there. Or I didn't see council running in there. I saw police running in there, well-trained and doing their job properly.
You know, I'm hoping that everybody learned from this, and even if they'll never say they learned a lesson, I'm hoping that some voices at that table have, and that we see more appropriate conduct from now on. I really am hoping that.
Yeah, I did talk to a retired member, just recent retired member, and asked how many times those folks maybe came for a ride-along, and he couldn't say. He didn't know if there was a lot of ride-alongs. That's what needs to happen is, you know, that whole situation downtown with the youth back a few weeks ago. Let them do a ride-along and help with that. And maybe they'd quit asking Chief Manning how he'd like to see his budget at zero then and support these folks. So, yeah, like everybody else has done this last week, thank you to everybody, the bank staff, everybody else. But I hope that the people at City Council stop it and have learned a lesson from watching this.
Yeah. Vince, thank you for that. I appreciate the call. All right. Have a good day. All right. You too. Yeah, actually, no, I'm just sitting here and I remember it was November 2019, I think. Vic PD came before, or it was the Victoria Esquimalt Police Board representatives, including the finance chair as well as the chief, and they were all there. And they were talking about problems that were happening within the department, that they were not meeting the basic needs of the members. They were not meeting the amounts that would be required to ward off these problems with overwork and attrition and all this other stuff. And I still remember the sneer on Ben Isett's face, the glee as he asked them to comment on what would happen if they flipped the Vic PD budget with the Victoria Public Library budget. That would essentially be, I think it was a 90% cut to Vic PD's budget. And that was the first question. Like they went, they said, we're hurting. We have problems. We need help. And Isett gets this big smile on his face. And he says, can you comment on what would happen if we gave you the public library budget and what sort of society we would have if that was the case? I'm going to find that one, play that one. That's what I'm going to do during the next commercial break. I'm sure it's around here somewhere. That clears up my calls for the moment, though. I had a full board. You want to call in, you can do that now at 250-386-1161, star 1070, a free call on your wireless device. Now, that's not anything that ICE has said recently, but you know what? There have been so many ridiculous and, in my view, unacceptable moments over the past few years that Vic PD has stoically put up with over and over and over and over and over again that, you know, I think in hindsight, it benefits us to be able to admit some of the things that were happening. Oh, yeah. No, I just found it. I got it on my Twitter page, too. What do you think? Should I retweet that and put that out onto the feed today? Do you think he'd get mad? Look, this is just, this is the political climate in terms of what they're dealing with. This is, where's this from? November 15th, 2019. This is what Vic PD has dealt with from this council during this term leading up to this.
We agonize over the tough decisions that we have to make. And we also endeavor to meet your expectations, financial expectations, when we come in front of you today. I will say, as part of that agonization, is just knowing that this budget that we bring forward today doesn't fully meet us supporting the members. It doesn't allow us to increase our ability to be innovative. It doesn't reduce wait times. It doesn't do a lot of things, and those are tough decisions, and I understand and I recognize that you also have to make tough decisions. I just wanted to share that with you, that this is a tough process.
There's humility there. There's an ask for help.
And that we have gone line item by line item by line item to find where we can meet those. Thanks for having us here today. I'm looking forward to your questions.
Okay, thank you very much. So we will begin with questions. Yes, okay, Councillor Isaac, Councillor Aalto, Councillor Young.
Thanks for your presentations and for all the work that you and the officers do. Just thinking to the previous presentation and maybe just being philosophical for a bit, to right now the proposed expenditures is approximately that the city would spend $5 million on libraries and $50 million on police services. And I guess just to be totally theoretical, I wonder about what kind of a community we would have if we would flip that spending on its head. Can you comment at all on...
Councillor Isaac, questions on the police budget would...
Fair enough. I guess that's a political... That's the types of values that council has to consider in this budgeting process. That
absolutely.
And if we continue just augmenting the pie of essentially responding to social problems and social disorder and deviant behavior, are we just on a track?
Anyway, yeah, that's what happened when Vic PD went to Victoria Council for help. And those are the ones that ran towards the gunfire and the bullets. Three members of the Victoria Police Department are among those who were gunned down while serving on the Greater Victoria Emergency Response Team when this incident took place. I really, really hope they did not have the voice of that ridiculous clown in their heads when they did so. Do you support him? Do you know anybody who supports him? Do they contribute anything positive to this community? Or is our community worse off because their presence here continually poisons our discourse? I think that's a fair question we need to start asking ourselves. I do. It's ridiculous that we even got here in the first place. I think that's one of the reasons we see $140,000 in that GoFundMe. I wonder if the nonprofits he hangs out with are getting that many donations these days. I doubt it. I really doubt it. But the values of this community have been tried and have been tested and have been strained and have been stretched so many ridiculous ways. I'm just getting mad, actually, just thinking about it now. Vince, thanks for reminding me about that. And I'm so sorry that all of you had to be reminded of that. But it's important because he still might run for mayor. He hasn't signaled that he's not yet. So, yeah, he could be the next mayor of Victoria, the next chair of the Victoria Esquimalt Police Board, technically, potentially, or, again, on council. Ridiculous. Quick break. We're back after this.
You're listening to Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
I know. That was from 2019. I got a lot more recent stuff. October 19th, 2021.
Fiscal restraints are the reality of any organization, public sector or private sector. All of our non-policing departments have to make choices in terms of what are the priorities for action. And they are life and health and safety issues.
I wonder if G-Vert got their medical kit that they needed to respond funding. Because I had a bunch of people tell me that that was an issue, that was a tug of war. I hope they did. I hope that medical kit, in terms of response, contributed to lives being saved. at that event in Saanich. And I'm really glad that the defunding forces didn't win, if indeed that happened. I can't recall if that was the case, so my apologies if I'm thinking about something else.
Things like whether clean water comes out of the taps or not, or whether someone dies of a gastrointestinal.
Sometimes people die, he says, with disturbing lack of emotion in his voice.
No illness because of inadequate infrastructure, whether people die in a fire or whether it's adequately suppressed. And in an ideal world, we wouldn't have those constraints, but I think that's the reality of any human organization. So is it possible when you do present to our council and to Esquimalt's that we could get a sense of a triage if the most urgent issue is the well-being of officers on the front lines and the strains they're experiencing because of gaps in the provincial mental health and criminal justice systems? It would, I guess my question is, can we get information on what, if
anyway, he lost that fight like he deserved to. And yeah, you know, I'm not suggesting that everybody who openly supports him is going to have it held against them forever in this town, given what's happened. But, you know, if suddenly people don't like you anymore, that might be why. Hey, I'm just pointing it out. Let's go to our calls where Richard joins us. Hey, Richard, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good, Adam. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Oh, good. I agree with most of what you're saying today, but I do think that we, as a community, should embrace Ben Isaac and probably vote him back in because he performs a very valuable function. He constantly, in a high-profile way, demonstrates the idiocy of people on the far left.
He's been quiet, though, and I want to be clear. Like, that wasn't recently, but that's what was in the heads of Vic PD officers. Three Vic PD officers got shot in Saanich last week. That's why it's relevant.
Yeah, I think we need a Ben Isaac around to remind everyone on a regular basis how idiotic most ideas that come from the far left are.
I don't think they want that, though. I think they're embarrassed.
Yeah, well, it should be. You know, but one thing, though, where I'm a little astounded that people are so, not shocked is not the word, because shocked, of course, but surprised by what took place. This is just the beginning of where we're headed as a society. The writing's been on the wall for a long time. And when you factor in things like young people, mostly, I guess, young men's attachment to violent video games and shooting.
Oh, you're not going to do the video game thing, are you, Richard? You? Video games don't cause violence. Video games are things that people do to enjoy themselves, like writing on the internet.
I've never played a video game.
Well, they don't cause violence. The association is backwards. I just want to be clear about that. I don't want people censoring speech in terms of art and in terms of video games here. I don't think that'll help anybody.
I agree totally. And talk of lawsuits against video game manufacturers, it's a joke. No, I agree totally.
Thank you.
But there is a little, whether it's movies or, and I'm not saying anything should be stopped or censored, not even remotely. But there is a romanticizing of a certain kind of violence. The movie called Heat a few years ago with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And Val Kilmer also had a shootout or two, very much reminiscent of the North Hollywood and of what took place in Victoria. There is a little bit of a romanticizing. When you factor that, political divisiveness.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up, Richard. I think we'll talk to you another day. Give me a call back. 250-386-1161. I heard Prime Minister in there. I think we all know what he's going to say. We can draw from that whichever inference we want. He was probably talking about political divisiveness. Again, I don't buy that, just the same way I didn't buy it when Harper was in power. If anybody was violent, they didn't say, well, I'm allowed to be violent because the guy in Ottawa hurt my feelings. That's not how things work. So I don't want to do that with either side. Let's go to Eddie. Eddie, you're on the air. How you doing?
Good, Adam. Listen, Adam, I take my hat off to every police officer in North America. And they can hire a lot more. And I'm really worried about those kids. Like, you know, they went off the rails. They're 22 years old, you know, and their parents, you know, they don't know how many people they affected. Like, you know, I'm so glad I didn't do anything that stupid when I was that young. But, you know, like, you can't blame the parents and everything. And I just say a prayer for the cops that are injured and the parents. Love you. Bye.
Eddie, thank you for that. I appreciate that. I'm sure they do, too. In fact, they're probably out there listening to this right now. And I hope that they hear how much people care. You know, there might come a time when you make a split-second choice and you are required to end your life that day to save an innocent one. And in that moment, if it happens, and God, I hope it doesn't, but if it ever does, I want you to know that you go with the full support, respect, and admiration of every single member of this community who matters. Are there some garbage folks out there that hate you? Yeah, but don't worry about them. They don't matter. And that's, I think, more clear than that. They're not going to take a bullet for me. Why would I side with them? And I'm being practical here. People are like, oh, Adam, you don't want to take a side. You want to do that? No, no. See, there's one side in this fight that will literally take a bullet and die to protect me. And then there's the other side that just, you know, calls me names and are mean to me. Why would I side with the bad side when I could side with the good side that actually protects me and protects other people? Hmm? It's just common sense, but that's how my brain processes things. So maybe that says more about me than about you, but that's how I see it. Let's go to Brent. Hey, Brent, you're on the air. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Your coverage has been very good. The call earlier where someone didn't think naming the deceased was appropriate because it was glorifying them in some way. I can't compute how that works. It's not glorifying the two young fellows that have died. And anyone that would even remotely, you know, go to the point of glorifying them just because their name's mentioned, then we've got another problem, don't we?
I think people want to feel like there's something we can do to stop this. And if they can't think of anything else, they'll say, well, we shouldn't name him because, you know, it gives them a sense that they're exerting some control over it. That alleviates some of their anxiety. They might be mistaken, though.
It doesn't compute for me. It just as on the other end, somebody just mentioned, said, oh, you know, blaming the parents. Well, that's another... you know, sort of presumptuous reaction that doesn't do any good. Mm. But on a practical level, in the coverage, I'm not clear on one point.
Yeah.
As the situation unfolded, after the actions that took place within the bank involving the staff and the customers and being lined up and possibly being moved into the vault, was there a substantial pause where the two suspects may have been lying in wait, expecting the next step to be the police arriving?
Yes.
Or was that time delay just because they're two 22-year-olds that hadn't planned this out at all?
My understanding at this point is that we cannot explain the delay with them if we consider their purpose to be obtaining monies and then leaving the scene with that money. We cannot explain the amount of time that it took. In fact, eyewitness accounts are sketchy, they're fluid, they go back and forth, but my understanding is that there was an opportunity for these suspects to get their hands on money and get out the door very quickly, but they chose not to take that opportunity and instead were pacing, were delaying. Shelley Fryer said she didn't understand. They looked like they were waiting for something, and I think they were. They were waiting for the police to arrive. And they didn't want to get away. They wanted to be the police to arrive, it appears.
It appears. Okay. And, you know, great for Ms. Pryor for her coverage that we got from her.
Yeah.
She spoke so well.
She did. And we thank her.
And on the other hand, we waited 2 days before we found out about the black stripes on the white Toyota clunker, instead of focusing, you know, I think everybody was sidetracked by all the coverage of the van, which turned out to be the police van. But that delay on the Toyota was a bit confusing as well. But your role in this, I can't say enough.
Well, I hope that I'm contributing positively. It's really like this is like a big tug of war. And me and you and all of us, we got our hands on this rope, and we're as a community, we're all pulling in the same direction. All of us have different spots on the rope, but I view mine as just the same as anybody else's. I'm pulling as hard as I can. I hope everybody else is too. And I have faith that if we all pull together, we'll get through this.
And if people were listening to you as you were getting your first tweets and text messages, you were stressing, let's not jump off the handle here. Let's use some common sense. That's the best we can ask for.
Brent,
thanks, Adam.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good day. Bye now. Somebody says you don't need explosives to rob a bank. Texter, you're correct. However, in 1997, the North Hollywood shooter suspects had jars of gasoline that they had rigged in the vehicle that they had brought to the bank robbery. Police would later suspect that the purpose of those jars of gasoline was to detonate and destroy the vehicle when it had been moved to another location to destroy any evidence to throw police or investigators off the trail. We do not know at this time if the Ochterlony twins had similar intent with respect to the explosive devices, plural, that we're told were located in the vehicle. We know the vehicle was in the parking lot, though. You can see it in the background in some of the photographs that were taken. And I apologize to our last caller. We did know about that vehicle the first day because we could see it there with the racing stripes. That white van, though, that GVERT, Greater Victoria Emergency Response Team members, responded in, though, I think was confused by some folks as to be the getaway van or something. No, that was the police. It was that vehicle that seemed to have been the target of the initial burst of gunfire we hear. And those running police officers that you see in that video, they're running to help their friends. They're running to save the GVERT members because the van came in and I guess it got sprayed by one of the twins in terms of bullets. And you actually, if you watch that video carefully with the dog and with everybody else running towards it from right to left, when you hear the guy say, we're witnessing a real bank robbery or something along those lines, you actually see the side of the van open and it looks like one of the members actually dismounts and gets out of that vehicle like during the gunfight. So that's how you can be confident, even from that video from day one, that that was actually the police. But there's no doubt in our minds now. Let's go to Dave. Hey, Dave, you're on the air. How you doing?
Good, good. I just wanted to bring up one more thing that it may have been brought up already or not, but each one of those officers that were on that site and any one of those officers that actually fired a round will be put up in front of a board and have to justify what they did.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, absolutely, without question.
Yep.
That's part of the process of the police and their investigation and all that. And although they were trying to save their lives and the lives of others, every round that they fired, they have to account for. So they're going to have to relive all this again, go through a board, go through a bunch of stuff, and hopefully they don't have people like Big Ben on there saying, hey, how come you only fired 15 rounds, or you should have been able to do that in two? Like,
I haven't mentioned him much since this started, and it's because he's been quiet. Vince brought him up today, so I played just two selections of what are probably dozens and dozens of absurd things that we've heard over the years. I'm hoping he stays quiet. He's a smart guy, despite what his critics might say. It's what he decides to do with his smarts that I often object to, but I'm hoping that we continue to enjoy a respectful distance on this matter.
I really hope the police officers get the stuff that they need to make them healthy again and back to work, and hopefully they never have to be called into that line of duty again.
It's up to me and you, Dave. We'll make sure they have what they need.
Absolutely.
All right. You have a good day. You take care. Everybody else, you have a good day. You take care. This will not break us. We will overcome this just as we have overcome every other hurdle in this profoundly unfair 2 years of COVID that all of us have been trapped in. And I'm sorry that all of us went through that. And I'm sorry it hurts. And I'm sorry I know how hard it is. But you know what? This will not break us. We're going to get through this. We have no other choice, for one. And two, I have faith. I know you do too. I'll see you tomorrow.